When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey speakers, listen up. The Next Level Brand Studio is here, your one-stop shop for all of your branding needs. We've created branding materials for some of your favorite motivational and public speakers. Are you in need of a high-quality logo design? Well, look no further. The Next Level Brand Studio is ready to create a high-quality logo just for you. Or maybe you need an electronic press kit. We have created EPKs that have helped speakers make well over six and seven figures. In need of a website? The Next Level Brand Studio has built websites for some of the biggest names in the industry, and we want to do the same for you. Or maybe it's time for you to go to the next level with a high-quality speakers reel. Whether you have taken the stage hundreds of times or just once, the Next Level Brand Studio has a team ready to assist and create a custom speakers reel for you. NextLevelBrandStudio.com. It's time to take your brand to the next level.
Welcome back, y'all.
It's the Next Level Living Podcast. Y'all, it's your favorite podcast. Favorite podcast. I mean, number one ranked podcast amongst
Anybody who likes podcasts?
Hey, we back.
Come on, man.
I got the gang.
Yeah.
Jay, what's up?
How you feeling, man?
Chilling, man. Hey, good. You look good, bro. I'm going to call you Pumpkin and Spice.
Oh.
And between the both of y'all, we ain't gonna get to sizzling on this episode.
Nah, see, he killed it.
What happened?
Golly, bro.
What happened?
You won't, bro, you supposed to say pumpkin and spice in between us.
If not,
yes. You know what I'm saying? Golly, bro.
Hold on real quick. Give me back my shot.
It's a cousin thing.
So, in my intro, I will let you all know when I'm ready for y'all to. Y'all just received this word. I was already complimenting.
It's like, it'd be a wave, and we be riding it, and then you just crash.
I didn't need help, y'all. I need help.
But you need help.
I was on my Jordan right then. I will let y'all know when I'm transferring to LeBron. I wasn't passing the ball yet. Yeah, you feel me?
He's got
like, I was taking my shot.
From the corner.
Nah, come on, Scotty.
It's okay.
Just relax, man.
It's okay. K-Hart, how you doing?
I'm feeling good, cuz. You looking good. Like
appreciate
you said,
it. Likewise.
But yeah, man, I like your color.
He a seven.
Yeah. Show your spice and everything nice.
There you go.
Oh, you going to get that out, huh?
You going to get it out.
All right, for sure. Well, Jay, if that's the case, then tell us how you feeling, my guy.
Man, I'm feeling good, bro. Locked in.
That's dope.
Yep.
Are you flexing your chest, or does it just look like that? Is a Next Level hoodie that nice, or is it the gains? Because, I mean, you look good,
Chris,
for sure.
How you
but
feeling,
the corners
Chris?
Is
I'm
cornering,
feeling good.
For
you know
sure.
What?
It was chest day in the gym, though.
You know who else? Let me.
Because that level is hitting, you know what I'm saying?
Let me stop you right here.
What's up?
You know who else is feeling good?
Oh.
Jason Queen.
Come on.
You know why?
Yeah.
Because he got $8,500. For one engagement, one contract.
Let's go.
Listen.
Yeah.
1 hour worth of work.
1 hour worth of work.
Praise God. Talk about it.
And that's sometimes people are so used to, I think last week we talked about Donovan that did $115,000 in 6 months.
Yeah.
Then before that, we talked about Atiyah, who got a $75,000 contract, and then another one, and then another $85,000 contract.
Crazy.
And when you do the numbers, you was on point.
230.
It was $230,000.
What's up?
So sometimes when people hear really big numbers like that, they hear 8,500. Don't get it twisted.
Right.
He made that in an hour.
Yeah.
You feel me?
Yeah.
By I'll speaking and changing lives, he made in an hour what some people make all month.
That's right.
And so, man, shout out to Jason Queen, man. He's been doing great work. He got a great heart, too. That's one thing I can say about the people in our community.
Yeah.
They getting busy, man. So.
That's good.
Shout out to Jason.
Yes, Jason.
And shout out to my brother, Doug Depp. How you feeling, man?
Man, I'm feeling amazing. I'm so glad.
Show,
I'm so glad you got me here on the show, man.
Absolutely.
I'm excited.
Man.
Thank you guys for being here.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely.
Man. Oh, man.
I was telling the team, I was just like, you know, I got some friends I want to have on.
Yeah.
And when I was talking to Neo, Neo was just like, yo, Doug's coming to town. I was like, oh, bro, I'm hitting Doug right now.
Yeah.
Pull up, right?
Anytime.
Yeah, because, man, what you were doing... you know, in the real estate investment space, bro, it's phenomenal. And we want to get into that.
Oh, right? Yeah.
We want to get into that. We want to hear about your story.
Great time.
How long have you been in?
Yeah.
Now, let me tell you this here, right? This is for all of our next levelers out there. This one specifically, this is for anybody that has a dream.
Yeah.
Anybody that feels like, man, I want to experience more. I want to have more. I want to attain more. As you hear from my brother, Doug, you're going to see how you should be always thinking bigger, you know what I'm saying, and better in expansion. Because when I connected with Doug probably, I don't know, 4 or 5 years ago, I was just like, yo, Doug is getting busy like that. And I remember in Philly with you, and I was staying at your beautiful new home y'all built. Yep. They had a whole rooftop vibe with the turf. Like, it's a vibe.
Dang.
My brother's a vibe, bro. Yeah. And but he's still balling, but he living below his means.
That's the key.
That's a whole other level.
Nah, seriously. We're going to talk about that, because I was watching your stories, and I was like, we're going to touch on this on a podcast, but I'm going to wait till you get your story out first.
Yeah.
But with all that being said, man, to see bro, you are, like, first off, I'm going to tell you I'm proud of you, bro.
Thanks, brother.
As a black man doing this, you know, in the real estate investing space and properties and everything that you're building, is something special, man.
Thank you.
Tell us about the journey. When did this start? How did it start? Because you don't wake up and just have hundreds of properties like that.
Man, listen, so I started real estate about 12 years ago.
Okay.
But really, initially, when it started, was my brother was actually locked up in prison.
Okay.
So every single Sunday, we would go visit my brother. And I'm talking about, this was a traumatizing experience.
Wow.
We had to wait for one door to shut to the next door to open up.
Wow.
Right? So what my parents did was, they said, you know what? We're going to go see open houses. So every single Sunday, they have open houses, huge mansions.
Oh, right.
So it's literally like planted a seed.
That's good.
Planted a seed when I was, you know, we're talking about third grade, fourth grade, fifth grade. Going to these open houses. And I knew right then that ownership was what I wanted.
Come on, bro.
Right. So then I was playing basketball, fifth grade, went to this basketball camp. And I got recruited by the head basketball coach of the high school.
Hmm.
This was a private school. People are paying $38,000 a year. Send their kids from pre-K all the way up to 12th grade.
Mm.
So my parents, so the coach came, asked my mom, like, have you ever thought about sending your kid to Germantown Academy? He said, we don't have Germantown Academy money.
Mm.
So don't worry about it. You know, have them come in, apply. So I got in and we got a financial aid / scholarship for only $2,000 we had to pay, right?
Mm.
The reason why I'm telling you that story is because exposure.
Come on.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So when you go to a school where people are paying $38,000 a year for their kids to be educated, and sometimes multiple kids, parents are moving a little different. This is when I started studying the wealthy. So we're talking about people at 16 years old, they're getting the Range Rovers to school. We're talking about at 13 years old, we're going to bar and bat mitzvahs. I didn't know anything about bar and bat mitzvahs, but when I was in 13 and 7th grade, I would go to these things. They're spending anywhere between $60,000 to $100,000 for big parties, big rites of passage.
Wow!
Right? I even know some Hebrew now because I was attending these things, like Baruch Atah Adonai.
Come
on, it was crazy, right?
On.
So I'm going to these, but what I realized was that these kids were no different than you and I.
Right.
Right. And then the exposure I'm talking about, they was this one crazy story, right? So at 16, they took a private jet to Australia for the long weekend to take five of this lady's girlfriends. So what I realized was that
private jets can go to Australia?
Yeah, it's crazy.
Bro, that's a lot of fuel. A
lot of fuel.
Golly.
Crazy.
Okay.
And they were getting limo service to school, right? So this was back when Allen Iverson was popular in Philadelphia.
Mm.
They actually rented Allen Iverson out for a birthday party.
Bro, stop playing.
So it was different, right?
Mm.
So this actually just like a light bulb went off and just sparked something. It's like, you know what? Like, what are these parents doing? So of course there are doctors, lawyers, you know, professionals, you know, that own companies. But one of the commonalities was that they own real estate.
Mm.
You know, they had the beach houses.
Right.
Yeah.
They had the condos. They had the apartment buildings. They had the commercial, you know, car lots and so forth. So that also, like, it was crazy. And then right around that time when I was going to school there, my dad gave me this book called The Richest Man in Babylon. Have you guys read that book?
Yeah, I have.
I keep starting. I have not finished that book.
Man, here, I'll give you a quick tip on how to finish that.
Okay.
Get the audio book.
Okay.
Takes about 2.5 hours to listen to.
That's easy.
And you can even turn up the speed a little bit.
Okay.
And then you can
My brother
lock
loved
in.
Doing that, man.
Oh, man, listen. That was the hack.
That's true. Dope. I got you.
Yep. So I'm learning, and I was like, man, these guys are crazy. So dad also gave me a book called Rich Dad, Poor Dad, which is a huge book. So that just changed my whole mindset.
Yeah.
So fast forward, I went to University of Delaware, got a finance degree, finished in 3.5 years. And I was one of the five selected to be a part of this leadership rotational finance job at Bank of America. So the first day we're going up the elevator. I'm like, all right, cool. We're going up the elevator. We're with HR and my four other colleagues. We get off the elevator. And there's this lady. She's in tears carrying a box. like in tears. I'm like, what's going on? This is right 2008. She's carrying this box. And I asked HR, I said, hey, you know, why is she crying? So we just had massive layoffs. I said, massive layoffs? That's crazy. Like, this lady's about 60 years old.
Wow.
She's been working for the bank for about 25 years. She got kids in college, got mortgages, got, you know, food to put on her plate. So I realized right then and there that if you give somebody permission to feed you,
come on,
you also give permission for somebody to starve you, right?
Straight up.
So I said, listen, this is crazy. Like, I said, wow, like what did, you know, I've been working all my life to be working and hugging this cubicle. Like, you literally could hug that cubicle till you're 67 and a half.
Wow.
And they now I'm just getting out of, and they just cut it just like that. So then I said, you know what? There has to be another way. So then I relied back on Richest Man in Babylon, and I started looking at real estate, and real estate just kept showing up as a vision, real estate, real estate, real estate. So then as I'm working at Bank of America, I got my first apartment, you know, right there on the waterfront in Wilmington, which is nice. We were paying $1,200 at the time. And I'm very frugal. So I'm like, yeah, I'm one of your frugal friends where it's like, I'm not out here just balling out of control. I love living below my means. So I'm talking about even back then, we had the $1,200 apartment that was overlooking the water. Then I found out that you can get an obstructed view for $1,000 a month. I said, oh yeah, we moved from that obstructed view.
The dumpster view.
Yeah, I don't mind looking at the parking garage, you feel me?
The same $200.
That's it, the same place, you know, same doorman, all that.
Yeah.
So we had a girlfriend at the time. Then I said, you know what? I don't want to rent anymore. Like, I know about ownership. I want to own my first property. So what did I do? Called up a realtor and I found out about this program called the FHA program. Yeah. This is where you only need 3.5% down to buy a property. And I've been saving up my money. You know, I had to pay my own way through school by working at this company called Nutrisystem. So called this realtor, found this property, brand new construction. We're talking about a 4-bedroom, 3.5-bath house. I move in with my girlfriend at the time. And she wanted to be on the deed and she wanted to be on the mortgage. I said, cool, how much money do you have to put in? She didn't have any money put in. And I said, okay, we're not married. I was like, my mom raised me way better than this.
My God.
You feel me?
So I was holding my breath for you. I was like, come on.
I didn't fall into that trap. Right.
So you was like, oh, you want to be under the deal?
Yeah,
right. Okay, well, let's discuss. How much do you have to put in?
Right.
None? Okay. Oh, just your looks?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not that's not going to work.
To just be cute.
Nah, no.
Cost too much.
Yeah.
Cost way too much, right? So then we move into this property.
How was her reaction?
She was cool. She was like, okay, we'll split the bills and so forth. So we did that.
Okay, then so she stuck around after that.
Oh, yeah, she still stuck around. Oh, yeah.
Of course she did.
But
good job.
The story, Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
So then, right, so we're staying in the master room. I think they changed the name of master room. I guess the owner's suite, right? Mm-hmm. So we're staying in the owner's suite. And I wake up and I say, you know, I don't want to pay this mortgage. She's like, you got to pay the mortgage. It's $1,300. I don't want to pay this mortgage at all. I want someone else to pay. It's like, what do you mean I want somebody else to pay?
Mm.
Say, we got 4 rooms here. I want to rent out one of these rooms. Mm. To rent out the rooms, you're crazy. She said, you know, we couldn't rent to a lady our age, which is understandable. I said, okay, you know, fine. Can't rent to a guy our age, also understandable. I said, dang, okay. Couldn't rent to a old, creepy old man either.
Right.
Like, geez, like my hands are literally tied behind my back.
Right.
So I'm not sure if you guys remember Craigslist. Anybody use Craigslist?
Heck yeah.
So Craigslist, I went on Craigslist. I was just like looking for a roommate, a retired grandma preferable.
Right.
So we actually found a retired grandma. She was on fixed income. She moved right at the first level, like right behind the garage. There's a whole suite, has its own bathroom.
Wow.
We set up a little mini fridge with a microwave right there for her.
Mm.
She's willing to pay $750.
Come on.
Mind you, the monthly note is $1,300.
Yeah. Right, that's half.
So I said, oh, yeah, we doing good now. Yeah, this is what I'm talking about. Got somebody to pay the majority of the mortgage. Wow. So I woke up another day, right? Not stopping there, I said, you know, we still got 2 other rooms right across the hall.
Right.
So we can rent those out.
Forget the office.
Yeah, we can rent those out.
For sure.
She said, no, you tripping now. Like, there's no way we're going to rent out the rooms right across the hall.
Hmm.
So then I woke up one morning. I said, you know what?
You got to go.
I said, do you want to be rich or do you want to be poor? Because I've seen too much at this point, right?
Yeah.
You want to be rich or do you want to be poor? Guess what she said?
I'm scared.
She said, I'm okay being poor.
She didn't say that.
I said, oh, snap, I got to go to work.
Oh,
I hopped in my Toyota Camry. I was supposed to have that car forever till the wheels fall off, until somebody took the wheels. Mm-hmm. But we hopped in the car, went up to Wilmington, Delaware. And I was like at the water cooler. I was just pacing back and forth like, okay, being poor. I called my brother. He just got out, right? I said, yo, bro, she said she's okay being poor. So just ride that thing out, Doug. You know, of course he would say that. He's been locked up. So I came back. I said, listen.
I'm renting out the whole house now.
I said, listen, it's not going to work. So I gave her a 2-week notice.
My dog.
Wait.
Straight
wait,
up.
Hold on real quick.
Hold wait. On,
you
like
evicted your relationship? You gave straight a 2-week notice on love?
Your resignation
bro,
letter.
I mean, listen, bro.
You got two weeks to get over this?
Equally yoked.
So what does that even equate to, 2 weeks in a relationship?
So 2 weeks. I mean, we've been together for 3.5 years, yeah. But she had 2 weeks just to kind of figure it all out, you know.
Oh,
and oh, okay. No, move along.
Bro, you a savage.
Unfortunately, but it was just something where, you know, you have to be able to sacrifice. You have to be able to realize turning points in your life.
Mm-hmm.
So if I was willing to stay with her and be okay being poor,
right.
Dumb down my situation, I would still to this day be hugging that cubicle and on a path to hug it till I'm 67 and a half.
A fact. Mm-hmm.
So we're talking about another 30 years of potentially hugging that cubicle because I was okay. Because I wanted to be hugging her.
But I think that is a message for all of our next levelers out there listening and watching.
Yeah.
It's like, be cautious of the people that you surround yourself with because they have an influence on you. So those of y'all, some of y'all might be in relationships with somebody and he might put it down, she might be fine, he might be, you know, like good looking, whatever. But it's like internally, do y'all's values align?
Mm-hmm.
And are y'all going in the same way? And do they support your dream? And for you to ask her, like, you see what I'm doing, you see I'm making good money, you see I own this joint, and we're looking to put us in a better position.
Yep.
You want to be poor, you know what I'm saying? Do you want to be rich? And she's like, I'm okay being poor. You realize at that moment, like, yeah, you fine, you nice, we've been together for a long time, but you are not who I'm supposed to be in the future.
Exactly.
Because who God wants you to be, where you are now, it's like, yo, you don't fit within that.
Mm-hmm.
At that moment, you made a choice.
Right.
Bro, you chose you.
Yeah, that's it.
You know what I'm saying? You chose your future, which is why you're in the position you're in now.
Exactly. So it was those sacrifices. Then it got to the point where I ended up renting out every single room of the house. And I actually moved my king bed down to my 2-car garage. It got cold. Sub-zero sleep.
Come on, man.
I'm listening to E.T. Bro. You got to want as bad as you want to breathe, right? Sleep is for suckers. So I was tapping in.
Let me do the numbers real quick. Yeah. So now you're in a 4-bedroom, brand new joint you built. Yep. You move from the king master suite into the car, 2-car garage.
2-car garage.
Do you have a space heater at least in there?
Sometimes
which
I would
does it kind of suffice. So but that's another level. But that's another level of commitment, man.
Yeah.
I get so frustrated, bro, when people are like, I really want it. Like, you really don't want it that bad.
Right.
You're not willing to do whatever it takes. Like, that's why you're on this couch right now, bro.
Whatever it takes.
Because of your mindset.
Right.
That's why you're on the next level living show. Because it's one thing for you to say, yep, I rented off the other 3 rooms when I had my girl go to the other 2 rooms across from us. But if you just say, I'm going to rent off the 4th, I'm trying to get to that paper.
Right.
And then I'm going to live. That's one thing to live below your means.
You
literally lived below your means.
Yes.
Was in the garage of a property that you own.
Yep. While being a senior financial analyst at one of the biggest banks in the world.
Oh, bruh. So you was already making good money.
But that frugal part. Yeah.
How much were you bringing in from those 4 rooms being rented out per month?
So I had grandma still in the basement, $750.
Uh-huh.
I had 2 guys from Las Vegas from the Venetian paying $650 because those rooms were smaller.
Mm-hmm.
Right, so that's $1,300 for those that are following. Then when I moved the king bed down to the garage, that was another $750.
Mm-hmm.
Right, so it was from the grandmom and the guy that take the master. That's what, $1,500?
Yeah.
And then from the two guys across the hall, that's $1,300,
$2,800. Wow.
Mind you, the note again was
$1,300. Yeah.
So while working at Bank of America, while getting that income coming in, I was able to save 100% of my take-home pay from Bank of America.
Wow.
Right, and that's what I used to buy my first property.
Come on.
And then I found out something about Section 8. You guys know about Section 8?
Yes, we do.
Man, listen, when you... The best payroll to be on is the government payroll.
Yeah.
They do not miss.
Yeah,
it's consistent. So a lot of people, they get into real estate and they're like, oh, but I'm worried about, you know, collecting rents and so forth. That's why I prefer, instead of market tenants, I'd rather go with government tenants because that's going to allow me to get that guaranteed income.
Mm-hmm.
So that very first property I bought after my main property, which was in Coatesville, Pennsylvania, I rented that out through a Section 8 program.
Mm-hmm.
And Miss Gladys was my first Section 8 tenant.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, Miss Gladys passed away. But the crazy part thing about Section 8, they passed her voucher down to her daughter.
Come on.
And now they continue to rent for me. Yeah.
Wow.
That was it's crazy, but that's a generational tenant that I was able to have by having Ms. Gladys in that property.
Wow. That's wild.
And it's a lot of misconceptions about Section 8 tenants. Yeah. They be saying like, oh, they ghetto. Oh, they don't have any class. But that's not true. Some of them are that they take care of their stuff because that's all they have. Like,
all they have.
Even though it's yours, that's their space and they want to make sure that they're taking good care of it. And so, yeah.
Wow. Yeah. And one of the things, like one of my benefits with my Section 8 properties, a lot of them, well, early on, I was basically buying grandma's house, just need a little paint, turnkey, ready to go. So I was picking these properties up from anywhere between like $40,000, $60,000. Ready to go, move in ready, didn't need much, you know, bells and whistles. Mm-hmm. But the cash flow on those were, you're talking about $600 to $700. Now those same properties that I bought for $50,000, $60,000, I still own them. Now they're worth right around $175,000 to $225,000.
Come on.
But check out the rents. That's the biggest part. The rents went from right around $1,200 to now those same properties are being rented for $2,400.
Come on.
That just shows you from 12 years, the span of those rental increases.
Yeah.
And just like some of the markets that I invest in, rents have increased year over year 16%.
Wow.
16 to 26%. When I was working in corporate world, some years I didn't even get a bonus, didn't even get an increase. But when I did get an increase, it might have been 2%, and that's barely keeping up with inflation.
Right.
So when you partner in with the government, they gotta factor all that in and find those fair market rents.
That's huge.
Yeah.
And so now you got all these properties you bought years ago.
Yep.
And the mortgage might have been $400 or $500. That mortgage is still low, but the rent that they're paying continues to grow every single year.
Exactly.
So every single year, you make more and more each month.
You
each
understand?
Year.
Yeah, the compounding effect.
Compounding effect.
So my question for you is: you're doing all of these things with the rent, which sounds like you're killing it, right?
Mm-hmm.
What made you so loyal to your job? Like, because in my mind, and this is just hearing you, I would think like, okay, this job takes up a lot of my time, but I'm killing this space. Why don't you get a couple more houses and do it with all this money I'm saving?
Exactly.
Tell me, what was your reason for staying with your original? And I know your position was high, but what was your reason for being loyal to them?
So my biggest thing, I don't work at the job anymore, right?
Okay, we
retired a lot of years early.
Gotcha.
We probably left corporate America about 5, might be 6 years now.
Okay, perfect.
Right. But one of the things that people do a little too soon is they want to leave their job immediately.
Good.
But what you have to realize is that your job is your biggest investor.
Okay.
So it's the job money, by me sacrificing and so forth, I was able to take 100% of my job money.
There you go.
Put that into more investments.
Got you. Okay.
So then as more cash flow came in, I put that back out in the street to buy more investments.
Got you.
So the biggest trap that people fall into when they're working corporate America is as they get a raise, what happens? They increase their lifestyle, they increase their spending. They're taking a little more trips. They want to get the bigger car. They want to get a better watch.
Mm-hmm.
The job loves when you do that. Mm. That's going to keep you coming back to the job. Mm. She's like, yo, all my money is spent after 30 days. I need that next hit.
Mm.
Now they're hooked. They look up 5 years, 10 years, 15 years is up. And it's just all he'd been doing was hugging that cubicle.
Wow.
So the same goes for as I show you exactly how to go about increasing your cash flow. What people do with that extra $700 a month, some people will go ahead and spend. They say, you know what, I'm going to get another pair of shoes. Mm-hmm. I'm going to get this other trip. But then they find themselves still in the rat race.
Okay.
That's why it's important at a time when you're building to reinvest that capital, buy more assets, because it's going to be the assets that's actually going to set you free.
Got you.
Right? So when I'm going into the job, in order for me to get paid, I got to give them my time.
Got you, yep.
But when I buy these assets, you know, of course I got to take the money to buy these assets. But now I'm freeing up my time.
There you go.
And that's how you really get the true freedom, that time freedom.
That's good. So let's play a quick game for a second. Yeah. So let's say somebody's making $4,000, like somebody just really watching right now.
Yep.
What would you tell them out of their check? Maybe let's say their bills is half of that, $2,000.
Yep.
How much should they be saving and what should they be doing with their money? Because there's a lot of people who are interested in what you're saying, but they really just don't know the next steps to make. What would you say to them?
Yep, I got you. So one of the things that I did when I was in that situation, I would actually put my money into either a high yield savings account or into a stock market, right?
Got
so
you.
I'm not going to give you the exact stocks, but back then I was buying, you know, Apple, Amazon. I was also, this was during the nationalization scare where Bank of America went from $60 down to $4, $5. So I was loading up on these stocks, right?
Got you, okay.
So while I was in between saving and getting ready to make that next purchase on the property, my money was working or had the opportunity to work, right? So it's very important that you can't save your way to wealth. Your money has to be invested to a point where you know, you have it accumulating, and then when it's time to go ahead and pick up a property,
okay,
it's like, hey, I'm going to go ahead, withdraw on that money,
gotcha,
put it into this asset vehicle.
Okay.
So now you have that structure. So one of the things that I recommend is I actually gave to my 401k.
Okay.
Right. So I was having to match because your company will actually, a lot of companies will actually match. So right. I gave right up to that point where they can match.
Okay.
And eventually I was able to pull out on that money.
Yep.
Right. And I took a penalty because I was willing to take the penalty, okay, because I could buy an asset and have something called depreciation to offset the taxes.
Okay.
Right. But if you're in a situation where you are able to save $2,000, right, I would definitely, if you currently don't have a house, I would focus on using something called either the FHA loan program where you need 3.5%, or the Fannie Mae program actually has a new program where you need only have to put down 5%.
Okay.
But you can get anywhere between a 1 to 4 unit building.
Okay.
So let's say, for instance, you either get
a multi-unit,
okay, right?
Okay. Mm.
So if you don't want to do extreme house hacking like I was doing,
okay,
you could actually live in one of the units, rent the other unit out, and that could offset your mortgage, your living costs.
Gotcha.
Most people's biggest expense in the world is their living costs, right?
Oh, true.
And you can even go all the way up to a 4-unit building, stay in one of those units, rent the other units out. So now you're able to cover your living costs and then have extra cash flow.
Gotcha.
You can start building that way, gotcha, as well. And then there's some other programs where you can actually, you know, I can show you how to go about investing and start utilizing your lines of credit and leveraging your credit.
Gotcha.
So now you're able to go ahead and start buying investment properties and really scaling up.
That's huge.
No, it's very, or it's a process of getting your first property.
Okay.
But after that, the scaling up part is where you really start to get that cash flow. And
it gets easier.
Okay. Yep,
easier. Strong. Got you. Okay. Yeah.
How many properties do you have now?
Which, yep. Not enough.
Oh, he different.
All right.
He different. That's not enough for me.
Yeah. Yeah. Enough.
Yeah. Yeah.
I got some properties, but not enough.
So you done passed 20.
Yeah.
Then you went to 30.
Yeah, we like just under 100.
Come on, man.
Yeah.
Nice.
You feel me? Not but enough. I love his first answer.
Yeah. Not enough.
Right.
Right.
Right. So that's why Doug's on the couch, right? Because it's like, it's like before you celebrate.
Yeah.
I'll tell you.
Right.
But not enough.
Yeah.
That's a different type of mindset.
It's a mindset, fact.
Right. And I'm not surprised you had that mindset because you got a 4-bedroom brand new joint and you was like, I'm renting off all these suckers to make the money and I'm going to live in the garage.
That's it.
That's a different type of mindset. The average person would have been like, I might rent off one or I might rent off two or might do something worse and be like, I'm about to look out for some cousins and family and friends and live up in here for free. And you're really not putting them in a better position.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But you did the most.
Right.
But now you gain the most.
That's it.
Right.
That's
and so
exactly.
That's wow, bro.
Yeah.
Not enough. That part. It's
not
that
enough.
Part for me.
Yeah. It's the self-sacrifice for me because it's like you were willing to give up love, all of that, just so that you can get to your goal.
Right.
Like, it was almost like it was nice to have, but it was too soon. So now you're married.
Yep,
you're
married.
Like, so this is different. This is a lot different than it was because then you were only staying in that bedroom so that she could be comfortable, probably.
Right.
Yeah. Now it's like, all right, she don't need to be comfortable. I don't need to be comfortable.
Right.
We just gonna get this money.
Yep.
And this is how you got to where you are today.
Right.
And I was looking at your stories and you talked about like being frugal. Yeah. You bought a flight to Atlanta for
$19. I think it was $18.96 to be exact.
Something.
Yeah.
Like to get here.
Yep.
And you got a backpack on Amazon so that they didn't charge you extra for baggage.
That's it.
I'm just like, wait, what? But then you had the flex where you went to the Centurion Lounge because you're like, I can get it.
Oh, yeah.
But
I'm
not
going
to spend my money
too.
To get it. Yeah. See, I'm not going to get it. And I'm going to get my meals for free because that's what you do when you get to that level.
Right.
So I was like,
different.
Hey, you had a whole trip for $18.96.
<Yeah. laughs>
And here you are on the couch today. Yeah. So that's pretty dope. And you're teaching other people how to do that. Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Now I feel dodo for spending $1,800 on the flight.
Okay.
Hey, listen.
So
convicted.
Right.
But no, that's a different type of mindset. But you also, the trips you take.
Yeah, I mean, we traveled the world.
The
we got a lot of stamps. I think we're on our 32nd country.
Come on.
We're having a house built in Los Cabos, Mexico. It will be ready October, about a quarter mile from the beach.
Yeah.
But right up in the hills.
We talked about that.
Yeah. So that's coming. But, you know, I really do get a kick out of being frugal. Some people are like, yo, Doug is just cheap. No, it's frugal.
Yeah.
That's where you're thrifty with a purpose, right?
Yeah.
So I have a purpose. So, like, and doing little maneuvers like that, if I could get an $18 flight, I'm taking it every single time versus paying $1,800.
Even now. Right?
Even now. Even now, no matter how much
money in the back. You don't
this
mind.
Was yesterday.
Hey, listen, this was just yesterday. This is how I got here. $18, $18.96.
The flight he took to Atlanta was
$18.96. I thought we was talking about a testimony from where he came from.
No. This was yesterday.
No. I thought we was talking about Drake's song started from the bottom.
No.
So, wait. Okay.
This whole thing
they
that I just said $18
flight
was yesterday.
Right now, yeah.
He went Frontier.
Atlanta
going to see me a lot more.
Bro, you said Atlanta going to see you a lot more?
Right. $3 for a round trip. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Bro, they got tray tables that look like pamphlets.
Hey, listen, I threw my eye shades, you know, the blackout.
Bro, I keep them on, bro.
Yeah, you can't tell where you're at.
That's no.
Bro, come here. Bro, shut up. Hey, you know I'm what? No, I ain't about to play with you, Doug. You the truth, dog.
Yeah.
He said, put them shades on. You can't tell where you
the
at.
The flight's only an hour and what, 20 minutes?
That's straight a up. Fact.
Straight up.
Yeah, I'm bro, not trying to press nobody.
Bro, right. But why not? That's a good, why are you not trying, why you ain't worried about pressing nobody?
Because I got it in here, man.
Yeah.
I know how to get it at any time.
Yeah.
I could turn it on at any time.
Yeah.
Who did that for you? Was it your parents? Was it God? Was it your walk? Was it your
struggle? I think it was God. It was my parents.
Okay.
My dad was extremely frugal.
Okay.
You know, he was a guy that had the reversible suits. And
gotcha.
Like, he knew how to save a dollar. And my mom was frugal with a purpose. Like, she would get everything she wanted, but for a very low cost.
I love that.
So I have a mixture of that. And they have the finance background and money background.
Yeah.
So I just really value money. And I get a kick out of seeing how much I can save, right? And then what that equates to is that's much more money that I can actually invest.
Yeah.
So the more money that I can save and be frugal with, because I get more joy out of buying buildings, buying investments that are bringing me back cash flow.
Right. Mm-hmm. So, and that's interesting, right? Because some people measure their success by how much money they can make. Mm-hmm. Then some measure the success about how much money they can spend. Mm-hmm. I talked to one of my friends recently. They was like, bro, I spend about this much per month.
Mm.
Then you have those that say, man, I'm my biggest flex is how much I'm able to save.
Yeah.
And then how much I'm able to invest.
Yeah.
And that's, I feel like that's a different mindset, which is what has you in this position. How old are you?
I'm 38.
Come on,
wow.
Bro. You ain't even hit 40 yet. And you got close to 100 properties.
Yeah. Wow.
And when I asked him, you know what I'm saying? He was just like, not enough. You know,
there's still work to be done.
Still work to be done.
Yeah, we work on 40 packages
right now.
You're
able to live life
on
your own terms. You're able to travel the world.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And every time I see you, Josh, somebody and somewhere exotic and just living life, it brings joy to my heart because I'm like, they worked hard. They sacrificed. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? They did what they had to do to put themselves in this position.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But now you're living a life, you know, you probably never thought you would have lived. You know what I'm saying?
That's
like you saw one path. Man, my brother's in prison. I'm going through one door. The gate locks, open up the next one, they buzz in. Like, that's traumatic. But at the same time, your parents are so dope. Man, shout out to your parents, bro.
Oh, yeah.
They said, we're going to balance this out and start taking you to open houses. Mm-hmm. And so you got exposed to that early on. Then at the private school that you was blessed to get the scholarship at, now you're getting exposed to more stuff. And you seeing how the wealthy move like you was a sponge.
Mm-hmm.
And you implemented and you ran the play. There are people that watch our show. They on the podcast. They tapped in and they running the plays we giving them.
Right.
And then there's those that just consuming it as entertainment.
Yeah.
Like, that's that makes a difference between the weak and the strong.
Absolutely.
I'm impressed, man. Chris has one final question for you, bro, and I'm gonna close this out.
Oh, yeah.
For it.
All right. What does that next level look like to you?
Next level. Next level is probably getting another couple hundred properties, living in Los Cabos, and be able to run things from afar and really just being able to go to the beach every day.
every day.
You know, swimming, snorkeling. And I'm a big pickleball player.
That's
dope. So I want to put in about 3-4 hours of pickleball. I'm basically putting that in now anyway. I want to be able to play that in Los Cabos and travel the world in tournaments.
That's,
and hang out with the family.
Travel the world in a tournament, pickleball tournaments.
They got pickleball tournaments?
Oh, yeah.
That's fire, bro.
Oh, yeah. That's the wave,
That's so dope.
Man, Doug, let me tell you something. There's nobody out here that can question what's possible.
Yeah.
Right? But the only question is are you willing to live below your means?
Mm-hmm.
Are you willing to make the sacrifices? Are you willing to be blessed with a 4-bedroom house, but then be willing to say, man, I ain't got no wife and kids right now.
Yep.
It's really just me. I'm about to rent off all these suckers and literally live below my means so that I can stack up that paper. Because I'm going to go from one house to 20 and then from 20 to 80 and then from 80 to 240. Like that's a trajectory that you want right now, bro.
Yep.
And it's hella impressive. Not just your frugal spirit, but the discipline that you have.
Yeah.
I tell people all the time that what helps people go to the next level, it's not their smarts or their brilliance or, yeah. or their good looks or their personality. It's like that discipline. Mm-hmm. And you've been disciplined over all these years, which is why you've attained what you've attained.
Thank you.
And I love the fact, bro, that's why you're here. You're like, yeah, that was cool, but I want more.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe, man, God's about to blow your mind, bro, and do even greater things.
Thanks,
and now you coaching other people.
Yeah, yep,
you showing other people how to get into real estate and buy properties and make that move, bro. And, and what you're doing is literally changing generations. And I'm proud, bro. And I appreciate you tapping in.
Oh, man, thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. Appreciate Tell the people where they can find you from.
Yep, so you can find me right on Instagram. It's probably the best. Doug, D-O-U-G. My last name, Dept, D-E-P-T-E. You can go right to executewithdoug.com.
Just like that, man. That's just like that. We appreciate y'all tapping in with us.
Yeah,
we'll see y'all next week.
Yep.
Let's go. I'm on another level.